Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
207. John Hines in for Chad Hartman. We're going to talk some Viking football coming up in this half hour. Watching last week, I don't know, was I alone? Did you get a chance to follow any of the game last week, Josh?
Yeah, here and there I have been able to kind of take a peek at it, and it's gotten scarier and scarier each week.
But man.
You know what? I'm also very much in the boat of, yeah, it's a win, but is it really? Like, well, the last couple weeks have not felt very, like, to be a proud Vikings fan. I know you win
exactly
at all costs.
I know exactly what you're saying, what you're feeling. Yes, a win is a win, but I'm watching last week, paying attention to the game. Now it's a minute 46 to go. I'm feeling pretty good about this. They have an 11-point lead. That's two scores in any book. An 11-point lead. And with a minute 46, and I thought, well, okay, phew, okay. I mean, that's it, and that would make it a convincing win. And the next thing I did, well, I turned around, and now it's like, what? Overtime? Did somebody say overtime? It's just like, holy yeah. Christmas.
It's I can't say I'm surprised. I can't. It is the Minnesota sports fever that we're all kind of feeling this time of year, especially when teams start getting hot and they have the MINN in front of at the beginning of their team name. It's gets a little shaky.
Well, yeah, I'm paying close attention. Well, somewhat. I'm diligently working here at News Talk 830 WCCO, but paying some attention, let's say, to the Gopher game. The Gophers at Wisconsin. Paul Bunyan's axe on the line. And I don't want to gooch it, as they say, for anybody, but the Gophers have a lead. And so just we'll let it go at that. And we'll give you the final when it is a final. But yeah, a friend of mine sent me that exact same text, said, were you surprised that the Vikings gave up that lead? It's like, no, it's the Vikings. So no, I wasn't surprised.
It was an interesting Sunday, let's put it that way.
Yeah, we'll let it go at that. Well, we'll see.
I did have to work my other gig about the tail end of that. I think we were just getting into the overtime as I was venturing around in the vehicle, and I saw that they were going to overtime, and I you could, you know, I listen to PA all the time when he's on, when he's bringing the games, and you could tell, and even in his voice, he was just like, are you kidding me? Like, how are
yes.
we? How are we here already?
Exactly right. Well, now the Cardinals come into town for a game at U.S. Bank Stadium. They will play the Vikings this coming Sunday. That'll be the noon game. And in the meantime, the Lions played yesterday. And I'm still holding out hope that somebody will – I would like to see some disruption in the success that some of these other the Packers even had a win yesterday. Of course, it was the Miami Dolphins playing at Lambeau, which is probably not great conditions for them. But, it's just – it was I want somebody to beat them. I want, you know, that old joke about my two favorite teams, the Vikings and whoever is playing the Packers at that particular point. So, but I want somebody to disrupt the Lions train of success here. And I thought sure that they were going to get close with the Chicago Bears yesterday. We're going to have Andrew Kramer try to explain to me what happened with that very last play for the Chicago Bears, a play that should have been like a six-second play, and it took forever to materialize, and time expired. So forget about kicking the field goal to try to tie that game. So... this is the fun part about being on the radio and being a football fan. You can do that and get on and whine about it a little bit, which is what I know. I know it sounds like I'm doing, but
don't whine, just... John. Come on, positivity here in Minnesota. Come on.
Yes,
That's what we need. I understand if you're in the Chicago market right now, it's probably not a great Black Friday, not a very festive Friday. I can't imagine what they're waking up to, and I agree with you. I think this is the best the North has ever looked. It's kind of different vibe. And, of course, the Vikings are having the success that they have. So, of course, we're going to have a very strong division up against the success of a very, defeated Vikings fandom for so many years.
Right. Well, and the Vikings will have their own chance to level the playing field against the Lions. So they still have that opportunity coming up, right? They've only played one, contested one game against the Lions.
Yep.
So that they'll be given that opportunity to
tie that in, though, too, the Bears. The rest of their games are still all against North teams, so they don't have it easier from here on out.
Yeah, that is it's. I said to my son, I feel bad for the Bears. He said, "Don't. They're all making $1 million. Come on, it's just like reminiscent of a Twins collapse at the end of the season last season. So we'll just see how it comes together. Let's do this. We'll get a timeout in here, come back, and Andrew Kramer will join us. We'll talk about the Vikings and what we can expect, who's in, who's out, who's up, down, however it comes out. Will Sam Darnold continue to live this sort of charmed existence that he's having this season? We'll discuss that next on WCCO. 218, we're back. News Talk 830 WCCO. John Hines in for Chad Hartman. Joined on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline by a special guest, Andrew Kramer from Star Tribune, talking a little bit here about the Vikings and what we can hope for, what we might expect this weekend. Andrew, how are you on this day after Thanksgiving? Thanks, by the way, for making yourself available and for giving us a few minutes to talk some Vikings from an insider's perspective. How does that sound?
Of course. Of course, John. Thank you for having me on. I'm happy to be here.
Hey, so let's talk about a couple of things. I'm sure that you are watching the rest of the league. Josh and I were just talking before you joined the show. We were talking about some of the things that are happening in the NFC North, with the Packers now having somewhat of a resurgence after some stumbles here and there, and the Detroit Lions seeming to be unstoppable with the way that... Now, did you get a chance to catch yesterday's game against the Chicago Bears?
I did. Yeah, it was an incredible finish. I see why the Chicago Bears let go of their head coach today.
Yes. There's the other thing. Yes. Well, how about that for clock management? When I saw that last play, which turned out to be the last play, I thought it would be the second to the last play, but it turned out to be the very last play. When I saw that unfold, I thought, well, this should take about 6 seconds at the most. And then they can still come back because that was a third down play, right?
It was, yeah. That was a moment where the coach afterward, who was Matt Eberflus, who was now let go, said after the fact that I didn't want to use my last time out there because we thought we'd throw a pass in bounds and we'd at least get one more play from there. And they used so much time at the line of scrimmage and the coach just watched it tick away as Caleb Williams then snapped it with 6 seconds left and lofted the pass into the end zone as time runs out. Yeah, it was just one of those things where you see all year, Chicago's got the talent. They should be a better team. And that's the first to go was the offensive coordinator. They fired him a few weeks ago. And while the offense has shown improvement, the team overall has not been able to win these close games. And I think it was just a matter of time for Eberflus in Chicago, and Vikings fans probably wanted him to stay because he made the Bears at least palatable.
Yes. Now, and how about this? Because I am, still hopeful. Will somebody come along and disrupt any of this for the Detroit Lions? I'm looking for them to at least get one additional loss before they face the Vikings again. Is that possibility even being realistic?
It is, because Chicago almost did it. If Chicago could almost do it, I don't see why the Lions couldn't get upset by another competitive team. I haven't looked blow by blow at their schedule, but I do know that this team is beatable. The Vikings took them to the ropes, almost beat them at U.S. Bank Stadium in that 7-point loss in October. And the Vikings are going to catch them again at the end of the season in the season's final game. So that game could have huge implications potentially for the number one overall seed in the NFC or potentially for the NFC North if the Vikings are able to catch up on that one game that they trail on them. So you're right. The Vikings need them to lose. There's cracks in the armor. You're seeing that this well-oiled machine certainly can be beaten on any given Sunday, but they're so consistent and so talented that it seems like a lot of things need to go wrong for them to lose a game because of how overwhelming they can be.
Well, that's the thing. I hate to sit there and watch as a enthusiastic fan hoping something goes wrong, because the last I checked, hope is not a strategy. It's just not a good way to go. What is the likelihood of this unlikely season for Sam Darnold to continue going well? Were you stunned at all? I mentioned this before you joined us this afternoon here, chatting with Andrew Kramer from talking some Vikings. But a friend of mine mentioned, he said, were you surprised the Vikings gave up that 11-point lead? It's like, no, not surprised. But I was stunned with a minute 46 to go. The wheels just fell off that wagon. How likely are they to be able to right this ship? Do they know where these problems exist or where they lie? I mean, I know there was a fumble involved, but they don't plan for that. What are your thoughts on that, Andrew?
Yeah, and they don't plan the other team recovering an onside kick either. And that was a huge swing where the Bears get that final 3 points really only because the Vikings failed to recover an onside kick that you recover about 98, if not 99% of the time. So there were some fluky things in that game that led to the Bears' comeback, but there were also some consistent weaknesses in the Vikings. And we see on defense, for instance, that teams can throw on them. Quarterbacks who buy time with their legs or get time like the Lions do because of a great offensive line, if you have time, you can find the holes in the secondary. And Brian Flores and this Vikings defense pride themselves on blitzing and attacking the quarterback. And if they're unable to get that quarterback on the ground, it can be problematic for what can happen to their secondary. This is not the youngest secondary. Harrison Smith is 35 years old. Stephon Gilmore is, I think, 34, and he's started every game at corner. You can run, if you can get those guys to run and chase guys around like Caleb Williams and the Bears did, you can make them pay defensively. So we're seeing some similar kind of themes to how the Vikings get attacked.
How much of Danielle Hunter, his absence, is becoming important to the Vikings this year? Are you seeing that? Are you thinking, boy, this would have meant that this could have made a world of difference in this particular case?
You always love a player like Danielle. He's so talented. But how they did it mathematically, or financially, I should say, is they let him go. He signed for $5 million more per year than what they got his replacement for, who's Jonathan Grenard. Jonathan Grenard's been awesome. He had 2 sacks in that game in Chicago. He had that sack in overtime on Caleb Williams that really helped get the ball back and get Sam Darnold a chance to win the game. He's been awesome, and he came at a discount compared to what Danielle got. They used that $5 million extra to go get somebody else, and Andrew Van Ginkle, the Iowa native, who's been awesome for them as well. So
okay.
I do think they would love Danielle, don't get me wrong, but at his price point, it was actually a pretty frugal move for them to go get other guys.
This is why I'm glad I'm talking to you, because you helped to put it into perspective rather than, you know, just the armchair fan who doesn't really have all the ins and outs, the strikes and gutters and what have you, what's going on there. With my apologies to the Big Lebowski. But so what do we think? How do you like the outcome? Should this coming Sunday, or do we take any given Sunday as not a piece of cake, not a cakewalk? This is far more important than it appears to be on the face of it.
Yeah, the Bears were a good team, don't get me wrong, but the Vikings are now getting into the meat of their schedule. This is really the prove-it time, where you start facing a 6-5 team in the Cardinals. Then you face Kirk Cousins and the Atlanta Falcons next week. And then you get the Bears again after that. And then you finish in the flurry against the Seahawks, Packers, and Lions. So this is a relatively tough 6-game stretch compared to what they just went through, where it was the AFC South, a bunch of losing teams, the worst team in your division, Chicago. The Cardinals can beat you. Kyler Murray is one of the most dangerous mobile quarterbacks. I just got done talking about how if a quarterback can run around on this team and buy time, you can find plays downfield. And Kyler does that just as well as anybody in the league. So I think the Vikings having this game at home at U.S. Bank Stadium is huge, because you're going to have the crowd noise on your side. You're going to get to slow down their operation a little bit, their communication. That's huge in terms of trying to throw off this playmaking Cardinals offense. So I also think being at home is huge for Sam Darnold, who's coming off 2 of his best games as a Viking against the Titans and the Bears. And being back at home against a Cardinals defense that, frankly, isn't that great. They don't have a ton of good – we talk about pass rushers. They don't have a ton of good pass rushers. There's not a lot of good individual talent on that defense. I like Sam Darnold's chances of keeping it rolling at home. So to answer your question, yeah, it is a tough opponent, a tougher opponent than they've faced. But I think being back at home might offset some of those differences.
Okay. Now, looking at this going forward, what would be the best case scenario when we get to the end here? Obviously, to win out would be awesome, because that would spell some setbacks for the Packers and the Lions in this particular case. That would be really great for the Vikings, but the likelihood, I don't know. I don't feel that confident about it. Bolster my confidence, if you will, Andrew.
Yeah, winning out would be tough to do, especially as we talk about, they have some tough opponents coming up here. It's a road game at Detroit. It's a road game at Seattle, who just beat the Cardinals last week in a pretty impressive game for the Seahawks. You've got some tough opponents. So I don't think winning out is a realistic situation for the Vikings, but they have built such a lead. They've got like a 2 or 3 game lead in the playoff race right now, that the number one overall seed is not crazy. That if they went 5-1 to finish these 6 games and the Lions go 4-2, you've got the number one overall seed, so long as one of those wins is against Detroit at the end of the year. So I think they're in a spot to chase everything you could ever imagine you'd want, which is home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Now, that requires somebody to step up and beat the Detroit Lions. It also requires you to beat the Detroit Lions at the end of the year. But those are the scenarios that are still in play. And if you would have told me, or if you would have told anybody, that that was the case in August with a new quarterback in Sam Darnold, this retooled defense that no one really knows about, you would have signed up for that 10 times out of 10, because it's been an impressive 9-2 start so far, and they've really got everything they could want out in front of them. They need to go win.
Well, looking forward to that, and I know that you'll have, you know, a great positive attitude, positive mental attitude about this when we look at this the next time. Andrew, thanks for – hey, by the way, while you and I were chatting, I know this is a different league and a different bailiwick altogether here, but the Gophers ended up beating the Badgers from Wisconsin to win Paul Bunyan's axe. What do you think that does that seventh win get them a slightly better ball game than the Poulin Weed Eater Liberty Bowl?
It should. It's too bad Max Brosmer doesn't have any more eligibility left, because boy, it seemed like they found at least a little bit of an answer at quarterback, but I think PJ is going to have to go back to the transfer portal again to find somebody else. But yeah, a seventh win, it's nice. It's been such an up-and-down season for the U, but a seventh win will get you maybe into a Cheez-It Bowl as opposed to a Gasparilla, you know, Outback Bowl or something.
My favorite was always the Beef O'Brady Bowl. And various others. So, Andrew, thanks for the conversation this afternoon here. I appreciate it. Go Vikings. That's what we'll hope for, right?
Absolutely. You too, John. Thanks for the time.
Take care. 2:31, this time out. Now, News Talk 830 WCCO. When we come back, one of the things that I get to do when I have a chance to fill in is have a conversation with an author that I'm reading, and hopefully one that you will enjoy reading as well. We'll talk with Roger Stelgis coming up next, who's got a couple of great thriller-type series to share, and we'll talk about both of those when we continue on WCC. When I get a chance to fill in, I get a chance to have a conversation with an author I enjoy reading, and hopefully that turns you on to the author as well. And I want to say this past spring that I was visiting with a friend of mine. We were talking about books that we both read, and he tells me about Roger Stelgis, who has written a couple of series. One is this McRyan series about a St. Paul police officer who ends up, I don't want to give too much away here, but so that was a great series. But Roger Stelgis also has another character that he writes, this a female character named Tori Hunter. Tori, don't make the mistake, is short for Victoria Hunter. And again, books that begin in Minnesota and can sometimes take you someplace else. So after working through the first seven books of the McRyan series, I ended up switching over to the Agent Tori Hunter series. When I say agent, it's because Victoria Hunter is an FBI agent, but with strong Minnesota ties. And this is where we start with the first in that series, which I'm thoroughly enjoying. So if you're looking for something good to read in a mystery, in a thriller at the same time, a couple of different series from Roger Stelgis, who joins me this afternoon to talk about writing and the books and some of his ideas behind it. Hey, good afternoon, Roger. Thanks for coming on here on WCCO.
Oh, thanks for having me on, John. I appreciate it.
I'll tell you up front, this should be easy because I'm a fan. I became a fan of, and I was a little bit thrown off, as I'm sure other people have been, with your McRyan series, because it was actually the third book that should have been the first book in chronological order. But I figured it out. I'm not that slow that I couldn't figure that out after a time. But good series. And how much, I have to ask you this, Michael McRyan is somewhat I get the sense, is somewhat shares a personality with you. Is that safe to say?
Well, I think that he certainly has interests and a background that might be that I'm stealing a little bit from my own, background, John. He's a, he went to law school. I'm a lawyer. He was a hockey player. I'm a hockey fan through and through. They definitely share some of those characteristics and interests, and I think that comes out in the book a little bit.
So, yeah, and I should mention that you're a fan or your character in that series is a fan of, you mentioned hockey, very much the Gopher hockey team, also the Minnesota Wild, and as well as being a Vikings fan and a Twins fan at the same time. So you managed to incorporate that. And also your hometown. You know these streets that are talked about in these books, in each one of these books. You know where they're going. And I imagine you probably have had to spend some time in Washington, D.C., because as people will find, the McRyan series takes us to Washington, D.C. eventually. Are you familiar with that area as well? Do you go and study those areas to get a background, or are you just open Google Maps?
You do both. Especially St. Paul. I lived in St. Paul for a while. I went to law school in what was then William Mitchell. Now it's known as Mitchell Hamlin, and fell in love, with the city and certainly all of its, unique neighborhoods and characteristics. And especially, I think, in the first book in the McRyan series, the St. Paul conspiracy, it really is, I think, a little bit of a love letter to the city of St. Paul, and what I came to love about it in the time that I lived there. And I find that, particularly, I think, here in Minnesota, we're proud of our home state. I think people, get excited about the idea that people would write stories and thrillers and mysteries, about our area. And so... I think that comes through, in the St. Paul Conspiracy and Deadly Stillwater, the second book, and many of the books after that. And I think that's true in the Torrey Hunter series as well. That's set up in Lakes Country. Basically, I use Brainerd, but make some changes and call it Manchester Bay and whatnot. But, anybody who's familiar with Brainerd, Cross Lake, that area up there.
Yes, I was.
Enjoy those books.
I got to tell you, I was laughing as I was reading, because when you talk about, searching in neighboring communities, you get Deer River, Cross Lake, and everything. I can just picture all of those on a map right in that area. I mean, anybody who's do you think that that's part of the attraction for us as readers in Minnesota, is that you can touch base at those places and we can identify with those?
I think definitely, there's a strategy, John, in writing a little bit, in that I think for my Minnesota audience, they absolutely love that. That stories in places that they can reach out and feel and touch and say, I've been there and I know what he's writing about. But I also like writing with enough, I think, it's not just enough to say Deer River or whatever town we're talking about. You have to provide some descriptive detail so that a reader from New York or Oregon or California, Arizona, or wherever, and our books are now, they're sold in Europe and whatnot. You want them to be able to picture where they're at. And so, that's another thing that, it's helpful, because I've been to all these places many, many times. It's fun to sit back and try to describe those places so that I can put somebody who's never been there and they can feel like they have been there or are there as the story's taking place.
I think that is important. I, you know, as a reader, even though I've been there and I know these places, I oftentimes wonder about how that goes. When you are writing like this, when you started the Agent Torrey Hunter series, which is still, it continues, although you've been a few years away from McRyan, I sense you'll be going back to him and that character, but I'm enjoying reading Agent Torrey Hunter. When you was there any criticism about how do you write for a woman? Or I would be curious, because I would be hesitant to try something like that for fear of the criticism that might come with it.
I worried about that a little bit when I sat down to do it for the first time, John. It was like, can you get the voice right? Can you get the the mind right? I think I've largely succeeded in that regard based on the reviews and the feedback.
I think so.
But it definitely, you do sit down. In the McRyan series, I wrote female characters. There's Sally Kennedy, who's the love interest. She's a well-developed female character in those stories. Mm-hmm. Dara Wire, who is a character in several of the books, she's is kind of a partner to Mac on some of the cases, particularly the ones in Washington. You know, she's a well-developed and I think thoughtful character. And so the experiences I took from writing those two characters in particular gave me enough confidence that I could try to, to write a female lead like Torrey Hunter. And so it seems to have worked out. But I was definitely worried at the start, for sure.
Do you test your dialogue on somebody when you're writing a piece of dialogue between, let's say, Torrey Hunter and Will Braddock? Do you test that dialogue on somebody, or do you mostly just trust your gut and perhaps your editors?
Well, I think I've done it long enough now, John, that I trust it. But certainly in some of my early efforts, I would do a little bit of that. Particularly, I would have, people I trusted, read early versions of the book and give me the feedback. And, because you want to have it as realistic as possible. I think a lot of the everyday conversations that I have with, whether it's my law partners or good friends of mine, I think some of that just spills over into the ways the characters relate through their dialogue. And I would say, compared maybe to other writers, I tend to tell the story more through dialogue, I think, and the characters conversing with one another and talking through problems more than, necessarily just long runs of narrative description and thought in a book. So, that's a big part of my style, I would say, for sure.
My guest, if you're looking for a good mystery or a number of good mysteries, Roger Stelgis has written a couple of great series, one being this McRyan series that we were first talking about, and I think I've got a couple of books to go there yet, but also now this Agent Torrey Hunter series, which is equally, I hate to use the term fascinating, but it's compelling. That's a good way to say it, because now I am turning pages. I'm turning pages. I'm all in, and I'm looking forward to. I sometimes hate to finish, but I know now that I've got this series in front of me, and you're still writing that series, right? You've got more coming.
Yeah, the latest book in that series actually came out the 1st of November. It's called Taken in the Cold. And just before I got on the phone with you today, I'm working on the next book in the series. And so, we continue to press on, with that series. But as you noted earlier, John, I am anxious and want to get back to the McRyan series. It's, I just need to build some time into my schedule somehow. I have another 2 to 3 stories, laid out in that you know, for McRyan, a story arc there that, you know, that I'm just, I got to build a little time in. I still actively practice law every, you know, and so the writing is kind of the second, you know, the hobby that turned into a second, you know, job or side hustle that is the eventual retirement plan. So,
well,
but I will get back to that.
I will tell you that I am thoroughly enjoying this. Has anybody been sniffing around at all, whether, you know, TV or motion pictures for any of these things? I'm always curious to know if you've got anything cooking in that regard.
You know anybody, John?
okay, we'll let it go at that.
I'd certainly be interested. You know, I'd certainly be interested in that. You know, it's funny. I get people will ask me that from time to time. And, you know, I do feel like particularly the Torrey Hunter books would, you know, if somebody was ever interested, you know, like in a Netflix or something like that type episodic series, I think those books could play out well that way.
I so totally agree.
We'll get there and figure out a way to make that happen. You know, certainly open to it. So we'll just keep chipping away at that, and hopefully that'll happen at some point.
Well, I want people to find your books and to tune into them. Amazon is a great place to look, and it's Stelges, Stelges. Did I do that right? Yeah, okay.
Right.
Yeah, good.
Yes, you
phew.
Did.
Phew.
Yeah. Yeah, people want to go to rogerstelges.com. They'll find all kinds of information on the books. As you said, John, Amazon is the easiest place to find them.
Yeah. Well, good reading. And if you're looking for good reading, and I still think good timing here on this Black Friday, the gift of a book is always a great, because it will start somebody in that direction. And the same way a friend of mine turned me on this past spring to the McRyan series, and I'm all in now. So, hey, great holiday season for you coming up, and I'll continue to follow you and read you, and look forward to chatting with you again when I get caught up in these series now.
I thank you for the opportunity to come on, John. I'm glad you're enjoying the books, and happy Thanksgiving and holidays to you as well.
Very much enjoying them. Thank you. We'll talk again. It is now, oh gosh, I'm behind here now, 2:53 News Talk Rio, WCCO. 2:57, that's your time check. Time to get free heat map analysis with an insulation estimate. So make sure you get on that, okay? Do that. It is time to put my toys away. Before I go, I got to make sure I say thanks. Josh Wheeler, thank you so much for pulling us all together today here. I do appreciate that very much.
I do try. I appreciate you helping out.
Well, it's fun to be along for the ride. I got a text here on the Stiles Financial Talk and text line. Somebody asking, Roger Stelges books, are they available in a Kindle format? Yes, that's how I'm reading all of them, as a matter of fact. And I went through the first seven of the McRyan series, and now I am going into the Torrey Hunter series, and it is just every bit as good. So it's they're good reads if you're looking for something, and they read like a thriller mystery, keeping you guessing until the very end. And I don't know. It's amazing to me when someone can write a chase scene and have it be fast. And Roger Stelges is able to do that. I mean, it's like, wow, how about that? So let's do this. We'll take put the wraps on it here. You have a great rest of your holiday weekend.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Odyssey celebrates the holidays, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Enjoy the shopping or whatever you're doing. More coming up on WCCO.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.